There are five areas of worship in which we participate. There is teaching, there is praying, there is singing, there is giving, and there is the observance of the Lord's Supper. We believe we have authority from God's Word for each of those five, and that those are the five areas that God has specifically designated and has given us authority to use in our worship on the Lord's Day. You may have the idea from the songs that we have just been singing that we're emphasizing one of those this evening, and that we are. I want us to think for a few minutes tonight from the Word of God on the subject of singing. What our music ought to be when we are assembled together to worship God. I think it's important for us to understand that we're not talking about what music we might use in other circumstances. Just like there may be foods that we eat that we would not use on the Lord's table. We're talking about the music that God has authorized in the assembly to worship Him. I want you to follow with me tonight as we read about five different passages beginning in 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14, you may want to look in your Bible, you may want to just listen as I read from the Word of God. In 1 Corinthians 14, 15, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. In Ephesians 5 at verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. In Colossians 3, 16 and 17, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. At Hebrews 2, verse 12, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And in Hebrews, the 13th chapter and verse 15, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Now, having read those five passages, let's go first to the one in Colossians. And I want us to look at something in verse 17 that is somewhat of an assumption tonight as we study this lesson. And I would think that all of us sort of assume this, but it's an assumption that's based upon the Word of God. And that is that we are interested in doing in our worship, and I would hope in all phases of life, that which God has authorized. Notice the statement here, whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Or do all by the authority of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. The lesson tonight that we are presenting as we approach it is based upon the idea that we're going to try to do that which God has authorized. And I want to especially ask those of you that are teenagers and the younger generation to listen very closely tonight, because I know there are discussions that you have from time to time and questions that are asked. And maybe understanding some of these verses and some of the points that we will make tonight will be able to help you in answering those questions and presenting what the Word of God teaches. Having emphasized that we want to do that which God authorizes, I'd like for the main part of our discussion tonight to be centered in Ephesians 5:19, a certain part of that verse. reading it again, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. I want you to concentrate on that part of the verse that says singing and making melody in your heart. I believe right there is the crux of the matter. And all that's said in these other verses will come back to that part of that verse, singing and making melody in your heart. Now that's a very simple statement. And I'm persuaded, by the way, if I had 1,000 people together tonight who had never opened the Bible and had never been taught anything religiously, and I opened to that passage and read it and asked them what it meant to sing and make melody, that they would say it means to sing and make melody. I wish sometimes that we were able to teach people without having to unteach them. And that's at least the second word I've used today that's not in the dictionary. But so many times people have been taught different things and they are prejudiced, and you and I can be prejudiced too. And we go to the Bible many times with the idea of our mind already being made up, and we're going to find passages that prove what we already believe. That ought not to be the approach that any of us take, including you and me. We ought to go to the Bible with the idea of, what does God say? What does He tell us to do? Well, here in this verse, notice particularly He says that He wants us to be singing and making melody in the heart. I believe we can violate that passage by leaving part of it out. And it may very well be that some of us that are inside this building tonight have already violated that passage. You see, it's easy for us to talk about our religious neighbors and how they violate it, and I believe some do, and we'll get to that in a moment. But let me show you two ways that it's easy for us to fail to carry out what God has authorized. Sing and make melody in your heart. It is possible to sit in a service like this and voice the words and never think anything about what we're saying. To have your mind, your heart somewhere else. And I would guess that most every one of us has experienced that at one time or another, maybe unintentionally. But we're sitting in a service to worship God. We're in the process of singing, and yet the mind is on what we did Saturday night or what we plan to do Monday morning or how long we'll be in the service tonight or something like that. And the mind and the heart is nowhere near what we're doing. We are singing, but we're not making melody in the heart. And folks, the same verse that says singing says making melody in the heart. It's singing and making melody. Sometimes we'll look at Acts 2:38 and emphasize it's repent and be baptized. In Mark 16:16, it's believe and be baptized. And we really place emphasis on that word and I think rightly so. Because that little conjunction ties those ideas together in both of those passages, but doesn't it tie them together here in this passage? Sing and make melody in your heart. Have you ever had the experience? I have sometimes, even when I'm sitting at home or I'm driving in the car, all of a sudden I realize that I'm singing a song and I had not even thought about the words, just out of habit. And I'm glad that that's the kind of habit that we produce and that we have. But folks, if we just voice the words in a service like this, are we carrying out that 1 Corinthians 14:15 idea of singing with the understanding? If we're not even thinking about the words? So sometimes it may be that we sing the words and we don't have the melody in the heart. The other problem that some of us have, and I know this is a problem for some of us, is we make melody and never sing. There are some of you that are even here tonight who may be facing this problem. You more or less said to yourself, I can't sing as well as somebody else, and I really enjoy listening. That's beautiful singing, so I will just sit here and I will listen, and as I listen, I will make melody in my heart. Well, you may be able to do that. You may be carrying out that part of it that says make melody in a fine way. You may be thinking about the words of the song, but you're not voicing one word. How could the fruit of your lips be involved? Of Hebrews 13:15. And how can we teach and admonish one another of Colossians 3:16? How can we speak to ourselves, even in this verse of Ephesians 5:19, if we are not voicing the words from the fruit of our lips? And so I suggest to you in the first place tonight that we can have a problem with this little statement, sing and make melody, by leaving either one of the two out. He didn't say just sing. He didn't say just make melody. He said sing and make melody. And that's what is authorized in this passage. In the second place, I believe we can have a problem by changing one or the other of these. Suppose we were to meet and play a mechanical instrument and make melody. You might listen to a song being played on an organ, for example, and make melody in your heart. And there are many people who have done exactly that today, who simply listened to a song being played on a mechanical instrument and made melody in their heart. Does that fit what Ephesians 5:19 tells us to do? Someone else might say, well, I can whistle and make melody in my heart at the same time. And perhaps you can. I've always enjoyed whistling. Sometimes when I'm out by myself, even when I'm driving, years ago when I was plowing the old mule, I did a lot of whistling. And I would whistle songs that would cause me to think about in my heart the melody there of thinking about something as a spiritual nature. I would whistle and I would think about the song that I was whistling. And I don't think there's anything wrong with our doing that in our homes, in our cars, or in a private way. You enjoy whistling, just whistle away. But if we came into a service like this and we decided that instead of singing and make melody, we all know the words of the song, so let's just whistle and make melody, would that be appropriate? I don't think so. What about humming and making melody? Humming is a sound that is produced, but it doesn't produce the fruits of the lips. It doesn't produce the words that would teach and admonish and speak to one another. Humming is not singing. And the idea of just humming a song and even making melody in the heart in a service like this does not fit the pattern that God has given us. So if we change either one of the two, if we play an instrument of music and make melody, that doesn't fit what he says. If we whistle and make melody, that doesn't fit what he says. If we hum and make melody, that doesn't fit what he says. I heard of one that's farther out in left field than anything that we've talked about, and this supposedly happened. A preacher was in a gospel meeting, and the fellow leading the singing got up for the invitation song and said, let's sing the notes. Now, you can imagine they had a lot of responses that time. Well, in a singing school, we would need to learn to sing the notes, and I think probably we need some times when we learn some notes and learn a few things that would help us with our singing. My dad had learned the notes to a song or two, and he liked to just sing those notes. And we used one of those songs at his funeral where he had learned to sing the notes. We didn't sing the notes, we sang the song. But singing the notes would not be appropriate. That would not be with understanding. That would not be admonishing one another, praising God. If we change either one of these, we've got a problem. I believe also we have a problem if we add to what is said. He said, sing and make melody. He did not say, sing and play a mechanical instrument and make melody. There are those today who would say, well, we need the mechanical instrument to give us support. We have no authority for that. He didn't say, sing and play a piano or an organ and make melody in your heart. He said, sing and make melody. He didn't say, sing and clap your hands and make melody in your heart. As far as I'm able to determine, from a musical standpoint or a sound approach, the clapping, the putting together of live skin is not unlike the use of a drum, which is made out of dead skin in many instances. I can take my hands and make some of the same sounds that would be made on a drum. I can take my vocal cords and make some of the sounds that would be made, for example, on a bass, what we sometimes call a bass fiddle. But that's not appropriate. That's not fitting into what is said here. He didn't say sing and make the additional noise of clapping your hands to keep time with the singing any more than he did use a piano to keep time with the singing and make melody in your heart. He said sing and make melody. And I cannot find in this passage where he said sing and hum and make melody. There is a song in our book, I believe it's 638, His Grace Reaches Me, that has been written for the approach of some people singing while others are awing, are humming. I'm thankful in some of the more recent books that has been changed and notes have been put in for the tenor and the bass. And when we sing that song here, I sing it. I usually sing bass or try to. And I sing bass. There's not a succession of notes there, but using the basic notes that are there, I sing bass. I do not believe I have any authority to hum as a background while others are singing or to ah as a background while others are singing any more than I have the authority to play an instrument of music, a mechanical instrument of music as a background. He did not say sing and whistle and make melody, or sing and hum and make melody, or sing and play and make melody, or sing and clap and make melody. He just simply said, sing and make melody. And you know, when we do that, we can do everything that God has asked us to do in this phase of our worship. He said, sing with the Spirit. That's a lesson for another time, but maybe we need a little more enthusiasm. I was with a congregation one time in a meeting, and we sang Marching to Zion at such a speed that we'd never get there. But we can sing with the Spirit and the enthusiasm, and we need that. We need to encourage that in order, yes, decently and in order, but with enthusiasm. We can do that singing and making melody. We're to sing with understanding in the heart. We can sing and make melody and do that. We're to sing with grace in the heart. We are to speak to one another. When we are singing, we're speaking to one another. We can listen to one another as we sing together. And sometimes one part will sing and the other will answer, which may have been more like what they had in New Testament times. Singing and answering each other, teaching one another in their singing. We can do that singing and making melody. We can praise God singing and making melody. We can present the fruit of our lips. We can present thanksgiving to Him. And I'm trying to touch the different points that were in those five passages that we read. And we can do all of this in the name of Jesus by His authority, because He gives us the authority to do that. Now, if we leave either one of them out, I think we have a problem. And I want to emphasize that to us tonight. Because at the same time that we do such a scriptural approach in teaching others about what singing is, we may find ourselves in some pitfalls if we do not sing and make melody. If we just voice words without being involved in the worship with our hearts, we've got a problem. And if we just sit and listen, making melody in our hearts while somebody else is singing, we've got a problem. We need to address those ourselves. Because He said, sing and make melody in our hearts. That's what's authorized, folks. That's what the Bible teaches. And I believe if I brought anybody from anywhere who'd had no previous teaching and showed him this verse and the other verses that we've seen tonight to back it up and ask him, what does it mean to sing and make melody? I believe he would agree that it means to sing and make melody. And so I would conclude tonight and challenge all of us in our worship to try to be as near to what God has authorized as we can on this subject and every other subject. And I think we will find when we do what God has authorized us to do, that we not only will be able to praise Him, but we'll be able to encourage each other. Some of the most beautiful music that I've ever heard is a group of human voices, Christian people, singing praises to God and teaching and admonishing one another, and I would assume making melody in their hearts. And some of those times to which I refer have occurred right here in this building. Some of the most beautiful singing I've ever heard and had a privilege to be able to have a part and to participate in has been right here in this building as we've been able to sing and make melody. And I challenge us to come back to the Word of God and just try to do that for which we have authority. Let's don't leave either part out, and let's don't add anything else. Singing and making melody, that's sufficient when we do what God has told us to do. And may God help us to appreciate the privilege of coming together and singing together and making melody in our hearts and praising God and teaching and admonishing one another. What a wonderful part of our worship that is. And when we start trying to alter it, to leave part of it out or to add something to it, we'll have problems. Let's just sing and make melody in our hearts. That's what God told us to do. The principle, really, that we've been talking about tonight is doing that for which we have authority. I believe I have the authority from the Word of God tonight to tell you that we need to believe in Christ, that we need to repent of our sins, that we need to confess His name, we need to be buried with Him in baptism, and we need to live the Christian life. And when we go astray, we need to repent and confess our faults when they're public, confess them one to another, that we may be forgiven. And so in the same line of thought of using the authority of God's Word in our worship, we use it as we extend the invitation. If you need to be baptized, if you need to come to Christ in any way, come as together we stand and sing.
All things are ready. Come to the feast. Come, for the table now is spread. Ye famishing, ye weary, come. And thou shalt be richly fed. Hear the invitation. Come whosoever will. Praise God for full salvation. For whosoever things are ready. Come to the feast. Come, for the door is open wide.
A place of honor is reserved
for you at the Master's side. Hear the invitation. Come whosoever will. Praise God for full salvation. For whosoever will. All things are ready. Come to the feast. Leave every care and worldly strife. Come feast upon the love of God and drink everlasting life. Hear the invitation. Come whosoever will. Praise God. Salvation for whosoever will.
Just remain standing, if you will. Our closing song in just a minute will be number 335. 335. One other addition to our prayer list, Tom Naylor, the son-in-law of Carlton Ruby Morton, had surgery today at Jackson, Madison County, and we'll want him to add him to our list of those who we'll remember in our prayers. Also, the Lord's Supper has been left prepared for anyone who was not able to take it this morning. If you would exit during the closing of this song, it's waiting for you in the education building. 335.
If the skies above you are gray, you are feeling